Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Earlier this week, a huge conference on the future of cancer treatment wrapped up in Chicago. You might call the American Society of Clinical Oncology's annual meeting one of the most important cancer conferences of the year.
Two doctors from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, one of the world's best-known cancer treatment and research centers right here in Boston, are coming back to town with big news from the front lines of cancer research. Research that's especially relevant to each of their specialties.
Dr. Jochen Lorch is a thyroid cancer specialist at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute's Head and Neck Treatment Center. He works with targeting tumors by their genetic mutations, and he joins us now. Dr. Lorch, welcome.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Dr. Patrick Ott. He is joining us from Dana-Farber, where he's clinical director at the Center for Immuno-Oncology. Dr. Ott, welcome to you as well.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program. But Dr. Lorch, let me just start with you. I mean, I understand that there was some quite significant news coming out of this conference in Chicago regarding genetic-based or gene-based treatments of cancer. Can you tell us what you learned?
Yes. Yeah, so I think one of the main themes throughout this meeting was really how basic science-oriented the whole meeting has become. So just a few years ago, a typical ASCO presentation would have been, you know, take 5,000 patients of one kind of cancer, give half of them regimen A and half of them regimen B, and then find that perhaps one group was living 2 weeks longer than the other on average. And that was, you know, not to dismiss it. This was the best we had at the time. But there's a general trend towards smaller but more specific trials where a relatively small number of patients and their response is actually a lot more revealing than perhaps these larger trials with this huge unselected population.
Right. So we're talking, I guess, is another way of phrasing it, the move towards precision medicine?
Precision medicine, yeah. I mean, a lot of people would argue that they've practiced precision medicine or individualized medicine all their lives, and that's true. What's changed now, though, is that we have the tools to identify what is actually biologically relevant, and it turns out that perhaps a thyroid cancer that's driven by a specific molecular event may be a lot more related to, say, a bladder cancer than to other thyroid cancers, which under the microscope might look a lot more similar. But what's actually driving those is really linking that cancer to a cancer of a totally different type.
And that link is coming through a genetic analysis.
Correct.
Is that right?
Right. So a few years ago, you may recall, there was the big human genome project, and it took a couple of years and millions of dollars to sequence the genetic code for one individual. Now, with the advances of technology, this is now possible to do within a few days and relatively cheap for a few hundred or a few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
And this is really what's been driving this trend towards these new and smaller trials.
So this is very fascinating, Dr. Ott, because it seems as if perhaps the location of a tumor we may be moving to a world where the where it is in your body is less important than that genetic fingerprint that Dr. Lorch was talking about. But how does this then play into some of the more exciting or new immunotherapies that are coming out?
So I would say that immunotherapy is a little bit of a different trend. So what we have seen is immunotherapy has a long history. We have tried to treat cancer with immunotherapy for the last probably 50 years. We have seen some individualized, some people might argue even more than 100 years. Individual responses seen in a few patients, but what really happened over the last 3 years or so is that it's been recognized with new therapies coming along. Those are mainly called antibodies that block certain molecules within the immune system and can we see very, very good responses in some of the cancer types. In particular, so I'm a melanoma specialist also, in addition to being an immunotherapist, and melanoma has been leading the way in that development, where we had the first FDA-approved drug 4 years ago, and now we have three different new drugs that we can use in these patients. And this year at ASCO, we actually had one of the plenary session talks was the first time we saw a phase 3 study, meaning like a definitive study where we showed that the combination even of those drugs that we have available works better than the individual treatments alone. And we have basically raised the response rate in a very hard to treat cancer like melanoma from, you know, in the single digits, if maybe like 10%, we raised that bar to 60%. And we have seen patients that have very long lasting responses. Some patients have lived for 10 years or longer with one of those drugs.
So that's quite a jump and quite a difference. May I ask, I mean, obviously, so we're talking about immunotherapy versus, I guess, more standard and well-developed chemotherapies. What about the side effects for some of the immunotherapies that are being developed?
Side effects depends. So one of the drug that really has changed the field is called PD-1 or PD-L1 inhibitors. And if they are given alone, actually have remarkably low side effects, meaning most of the patients actually have essentially no side effects. And that in combination with the, you know, activity, of course, you know, is very attractive. And in addition to them working in melanoma, what we have changed, the most oncologists that have view on these drugs is the recognition that it can not only work in melanoma, but it works in a whole host of other tumors. And, you know, it's particularly also very difficult to treat cancers like lung cancer, bladder cancer, kidney cancer, all respond to these treatments. And what was new at ASCO this year is sort of this common recognition by the oncology community that immunotherapy is here to stay, that it provides a lot of hope for a lot of cancer patients, and then we are working very hard to bring these drugs to make them better, increase the proportion of patients who respond to these treatments, work on combinations. In terms of the toxicity, it's certainly an issue that when we try to combine treatments, so adding more than just adding another drug to one drug, we typically increase toxicity. That's actually exactly what we found.
Right. Well, if I may jump in here, I'm sorry to interrupt because I did want to turn one last question to Dr. Lorch because of something that Dr. Ott said, that perhaps there's greater reason than ever for cancer patients and their families to feel hope coming with all this new research. And yet there's still cancer. I mean, we don't have the cure yet. So what's your response to that briefly?
Yeah, there's a lot of enthusiasm right now, and I think that's well founded, both in the physician side, but also from patients. I think again, you know, going back to the trend towards smaller and more precise trials, targeting a more precise number of patients, really. You know, I think that'll be a big leap forward.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Joachim Lorch is a thyroid cancer specialist at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and Dr. Patrick Ott, he's clinical director of the Center for Immuno-Oncology at Dana-Farber. Thank you very much to you both.
Stay with us. A lot more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.